Well, I thought I had some rock music and everything to go with it this morning. That's my welcome. Okay. Y'all doing all right this morning? Okay, good. You know, as we were finishing up last week, we were really just getting into this one anotherness. And so what I want to do is kind of continue that, because I have a lot of those. And in my book, that word koinonia really means one anotherness. Because in God's family, and God tells us that when we are baptized into Christ, we become heirs, right? Fellow heirs with Jesus. And so this idea of one anotherness, this bodiness that we have, and we're gonna move into some of that thought, that mindset of being the body of Christ. But I kind of want to continue with some of these thoughts. Let's examine this idea of one anotherness just a little more closely. What does it really entail? And what I want you to do is turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And I don't even have Romans chapter 12 on my slides, because I wanted us to go through it just a little more closely. And I want you to think about this just a little bit more. And I touched on it last week, but there's a bunch of our one another verses that come out of Romans chapter 12. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. Paul tells those Christians to be devoted to one another. In brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. What does it mean to give preference to one another in honor? Somebody help me out with that concept. Put somebody else ahead of yourself. Consider them before you consider yourself. Y'all agree? I think that's a really good definition of giving honor. How do we do that in the church? What's that look like for us? Wash one another's feet. That's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, right? And that's not only humility, but we have example of it, right? I mean, John chapter 13, Jesus strips down to a loincloth and he washes his disciples' feet. You know, they lived in a culture that's different than ours. So how do we wash one another's feet? Now, you said bear one another's burdens. I like that. How else do we wash one another's feet? How do we wash feet, Jordan? If y'all haven't met Jordan, he's one of our family. He was a Tarleton student, and now he teaches over at Mansfield in their school district. But he came and helped us for a couple of years, really, on and off with our boys. So he's just part of our family. So y'all get to know Jordan. He's good people. There are so many times when we can help one another, bearing each other's burdens, honoring each other. Let's look at chapter 12. I'm going to read it, and y'all follow with me. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy, according to the portion of your faith, of service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In my estimation, this is probably one of the most powerful chapters once you get past the resurrection of Jesus that's in the Bible. Because it tells us what koinonia is really all about. It tells us what one anotherness is really all about. Paul goes on. Annette, do you have something? Oh, all right. I saw your hand raised. I thought maybe you were trying to get my attention. Hi, George. It's good to see you. What stands out to you most in this passage? Yeah, I wish God had quit putting me on my knees quite as much as he does. He thinks I'm a lot stronger than I think I am. But I'll tell you right now, you know, what I see every day is trauma. I deal with people who have trauma. And the best remedy that I've seen for that trauma is the love of God. It comes through so many different ways. What else do you see in this chapter? overcome evil with good. Is that hard? Do you really have your hand raised this time, Annette? All right, you're not just tricking me. How does that transformation take place? Huh? Heart. It's too broad for me. Let's firm it up some. If what Paul tells us is right here in verses 1 and 2, that transforming of our minds, what does that take? How does it happen? Does that mean that as soon as I'm buried in that water and I come up and I'm a new creature, according to Paul, Romans chapter 6, does that mean I'm going to do everything right? No. Oh, you're talking about the Holy Spirit? This is the Church of Christ. We're a little scared of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Sir, we better not be scared of the Holy Spirit, right? But I feel like far too many times we have stifled the Holy Spirit for sure. I think we hold back the Holy Spirit all the time, and it grieves Him. Because I think there are so many opportunities for us, and too many times when we choose not to do them. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, speaking in tongues and all that. You looked at these gifts with me that Paul talked about, right? How many of them said speak in tongues? Not even one. The prophecy that he's talking about. What kind of prophecy is that, David? Standing up, knowing God's word, and talk about it. It's not telling the future, not some new revealed future that you just got from the Holy Spirit. No, it's God's word already revealed, and we forth tell it like it is. Those who preach, those who teach, that's prophecy. What other gifts do you see here? That encouragement. I think I talked about that last week, maybe, the letters that just when we're house parents at Foster's, we get a letter or two, little notes from time to time of encouragement. You'd be amazed at how much good that does a person when they get that. But I'm telling you, that's a gift. Because for me to sit down and write notes like that, it would be really, it's just not where my gifts lie. And I'm okay with that, because there are some people who really have that as a gift. They're organized. They do it. Do you see anything else that's miraculous here? I don't know anybody who can put their hands on somebody else, lay their hands on them, and heal them. They did. Paul, give you a hanky, make you feel better. But what we do see here are gifts that every single one of us have as members of the body of Christ. He who exhorts with exhortation, he who serves, he who teaches. That means he and she, y'all. I don't have my corrected version. This is still my preaching Bible. It's the old one. But each one of us has that. That's how we become parts of one another. I'm going to skip some of the items that we went through last week. We got to really the end of chapter 16, and then we started in on 1 Corinthians. See, now he just talked in Romans chapter 12 about the body. 1 Corinthians 12:25, he says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. Do we have divisions? Is the body of Christ divided? Tell me more. Yeah, worship is all about God, although we've made it about us, haven't we? We worry about so many little things. Do we have a guide? A guide for our worship. Annette just held hers up. We have God's word. We have the scriptures. But the trick is, how do we stay with them, and how do we stay unified, right? Because so many times people read a passage one way, and they want to say, well, this is what it means for me, quote unquote. We call that postmodernism. And then you have the next person says, well, this is what it means to me. I have never liked Bible classes where people said, well, here's my truth. What's your truth? And the reason is there's only one truth. Truth isn't divided. There's only one Jesus. Jesus isn't divided. There's only one body of Christ. We make the divisions. God doesn't. And quite honestly, it's to our detriment that we do. How many bodies of Christ do we have right here in Stephenville? Huh? How many? One. Except what we've done is we've fragmented that one into things that we approve of. And that is not fellowship. It's not. We need to be able to see beyond those little things and still call each other brothers and sisters in Christ and still worship one with another. We got a couple more of those holy kiss passages here in 1 Corinthians. And then we move on to Galatians 5:13 and 6:2, two of my favorites. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, at Foster's home this last week, we've been blessed with a group of folks, good, lovely folks from Houston who came up and were servants. I think they came up and what they did was they fellowshiped with us here last week, last Sunday. And they saw some opportunities to serve. They saw, even in what we're doing, some excitement. You know, that night of 100 casseroles, Does it get cumbersome, y'all, to make 100 casseroles? What's that? We had how many made, though? 82. Did we run out? Yes. 15 minutes and they're gone. Oh, how many opportunities did we miss for fellowship? How many opportunities did we miss for koinonia? I submit to you that these people see what you are doing. These people are coming, and it's not just because they're hungry. God is putting opportunities into our path to share Jesus in a real way. Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you, right? Was he lying? We've got them, don't we? They look different, maybe, than some of the folks in biblical times who were poor. But we have both poor in means, and we have poor in spirit. And the ones who are poor in spirit have got to be reaching out to the ones who are poor in means, because we're always going to have them. And we cannot get tired in doing good. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How do we bear each other's burdens, Andy? How do we bear one another's burdens? Evasive answer. I like that. Andy was supposed to be up here teaching with me, and he bailed on me. Yeah. I'm just messing with him. You got any good suggestions, Andy? How about fixing somebody's car when it's broken? It's not my gift, but some guys can do it, right? How about when there's a widow who needs help? Do we reach out and help them? How about teaching a Bible class? Can we do it? Even if we've never taught one before, can we do it? All it takes is study and time, right? But I think sometimes we're scared. Puts us out of our comfort zone. It takes time to go and make casseroles. And I'm guilty because we weren't there on Wednesday night to make casseroles. So that conviction falls on me. Bear one another's burdens. When you move to Ephesians, Paul says some things about unity and about the body of Christ. Verse 4:32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Is there anybody here who's ever had a brother or sister in Christ who offended you in such a way that you were just completely angry? Have you been there? How did you handle it? Miss Sherry? Walk away. Then what? Then what? Walk away, then pray, then what? Oh. See, there, your brother or your sister has something against you. Jesus didn't say, if your brother or sister has something against you, wait until they come. Did he? He didn't say that. There are so many times, so many opportunities for us to mend fences and stop the division. Why don't we? I heard something over there. Selfish. Selfish. Pride. Couple of folks. Fear. Oh. You know, I'm a big, strong guy. Used to be strong. Now I just smell that way sometimes. I have fear about things like that. Fear will stop you in your tracks sometimes. How do you stop fear? Trust in the Lord. There's many times in Scripture where God tells us, don't be afraid. But I still get fearful. Yeah, and why should we not fear? Because the creator of the universe is in our corner. It will stop you from the unity that you could have. It will stop you from accomplishing the goals that you have that you're too afraid to reach out to. Now, I know some of y'all, I'm old and some of y'all are a little older than me. What are your goals? Is one anotherness part of them? Don't tell me just because we're getting up there in age that we can't have goals and objectives and ways that we can further God's work and further the kingdom. Because anybody can make a casserole. Even my boys. Anybody can write a letter of encouragement. Anybody can pick up the phone and make a call. Anybody can go visit somebody that's hurting, bereaved because they lost somebody close to them. You don't even have to say anything. You can just go and be there. And yet, sometimes we are too proud or too fearful to go and do it. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. That's fellowship, right? If you don't feel like the song service at church is important, you're missing the point. If you're sitting back there and saying, oh, I don't sing very well, I'm not going to sing, are you missing the point? Because God didn't say sing beautifully. Some of us have better voices than others, and sometimes even the ones that have better voices have their rough days. I mean, think about David Bearden. He's got vocal cords that are golden, but he won't lead singing usually. But he will if he has to, right? There are many of us who, if we'll just sing, people around us will be edified. When I was a freshman at ACU, I sat next to a guy in chapel. You know, back then, back in the golden years, they had chapel in Moody Coliseum, and you had assigned seats, and you had to be there, and they took pictures so that they knew if somebody was in the seat, then you were present, and if there wasn't somebody in that seat, then you were absent, and if you got a certain number of absences, then you had to go see the dean. Well, you know, when you're a freshman, you don't really understand how all that works. You could pay somebody to sit in your seat if you wanted to, but, you know, just kidding. But my freshman year at ACU, I was a vocal performance major, all right? I wanted to sing and teach singing. I got rid of that aspiration after about the second week of music theory, but that's a whole other story. But here I am in chapel, and I'm this baritone, and I love to sing, and the guy that sits right next to me is so tone deaf he could not carry a tune in a bucket. And I was like, what did God do to me? But you know what? I grew to love that brother. Because a lot of times when other people weren't singing, what was coming out of him was coming from right here. And some of you are that way. What comes out of you is beautiful, whether you think it sounds great or not. What comes out of you is edifying, whether you think anybody knew or not. Go and make a casserole. See whether somebody benefits from it. Tell you what, get really brave and put a note with it that says, I want to tell you about Jesus. If you ever get ready to listen, give me a call. I want to talk to you about fellowship. I want to talk to you about truly being the body of Christ. Will you dare to talk to me about it? Put a note like that in with the casserole that you make. Find out who's seeking. And if you don't know the answers to their questions, there's a lot of people who will help. I can't tell you how many Bible studies I've been on where I didn't initiate it. I just went along as the silent partner. And then when questions came up that couldn't be answered, then I had some of the tools to help. And I know that there's a bunch of you that have deeper Bible knowledge than I have. Some of you have been reading it a whole lot more times over your life than I have. That fellowship is what grows the church. Right? That willingness is what grows the church. We have Celebrate Recovery here at our congregation. How many of you ever have been to a Celebrate Recovery meeting? If you haven't gone, you should. It's for all. See, we think, oh, well, that's for drug addicts and alcoholics. But I've been to meetings where there's people who are suffering with grief, and they're there to help and get through it. There are people who are suffering with obesity. They're working on their body. And they're trying to find ways, biblical answers to questions to help them with their addiction to food, with their hang-ups, the things in their life that they need help with. And so many times we stand off and we don't go to those people and we don't help because we think, oh, they're different from me. They smell different. You go in there and they smell like cigarette smoke and I don't. Get over it. So many different ways we can be a part of one another, bearing one another's burdens. Philippians 2:3, Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. But I will tell you that I don't. And if I did, I'd be out there more. And I make poor excuses by saying, oh, I'm too busy. I've got this obligation already. My plate's already full. We were at the missions committee meeting the other night. And Lee Jones, if you don't know Lee very well, you ought to get to know Lee. He's a guy with a full plate, isn't he? Don, does Lee have a full plate or what? And yet at the missions committee, somebody says, Lee, will you do this? Will you write this letter to this missionary? Will you help in this spot? And Lee's like, no, I'm covered up. But he did it. What's my excuse? What's your excuse? If we really think about it, it boils down to selfishness, doesn't it, Deborah? Sometimes. Some of us have legitimate issues and problems, but there's still ways where we can serve. There's still ways that we can bear one another's burdens. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That doesn't take anything. That doesn't take any effort at all other than just us being there. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, right? Because y'all are here. But how do we encourage others? If we're here and we are encouraging them to be here, maybe their excuse is, well, I didn't have a ride. Maybe their thought process is nobody misses me if I'm not there. Encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're also doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Just as you're already doing. And church, what I'll tell you is I think we are doing an amazing job so far. We're doing an amazing job with what we've done so far, but we can do so much more. If I get the right button, this thing will change. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what's good for one another and for all people. Do y'all see people repaying evil with evil? Give me an example of what happens. Road raids, my favorite. It's true. We repay evil for evil sometimes because that guy cut us off. That person wasn't paying attention. Now, the reality is we don't know their heart. We don't know whether it was really evil or not. They may have been overwrought because their child just died. They may have been completely distracted because God put something in their life that they don't know how to handle yet. Don't repay evil for evil. What we consider evil may not necessarily be that. Give thanks to God. God's servants, the apostles, they gave thanks for members of the congregation. I've heard the elders here pray, and they give thanks for us, for this body. They pray for our weaknesses. How do we support them? How do we give honor? Because we really need to. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another every day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's one of the things that encouragement helps with, isn't it? It helps that other person not get hardened. Encourage one another to love, Hebrews 10:24. Don't skip services. Be there. And encourage one another. James 5:16 is one of those verses that I've seen people struggle with so many times. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Let me ask you this really personal question before we shut down here for today. When was the last time you took your hurting heart, broken self, and you went to your brother or your sister in Christ, confessed what was on your heart, and prayed together? When was the last time you did it? Every single one of us has sin. All of us. Why don't we do this more often? Going to pick up with that question next week. Thanks for being a part of class this morning.